Me in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14. This Lord's Day and next Lord's Day, we're going to take a short break from our study together going through the book of 2 Chronicles, and we're going to look at two passages of Scripture focusing on, I think, some very timely truths about our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. And so if you would please give careful attention now to the reading of God's very Word. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Thus ends the reading of God's dear word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in the face of the horror of evil, that you have given your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come and be the Savior. And so, Lord, we ask that you would come by your blessed Spirit this day, and you would take this portion of Holy Scripture, and that, Lord, you would fix our eyes on Jesus. Father, we beg that your Spirit would come and open the Word of God, and you, Lord Jesus, would wield this mighty, sharp, double-edged sword, Lord, to pierce our hearts, to grant to us renewed repentance and faith in you, renew our hearts to hope in you, to have comfort, to have strength and confidence, to follow you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, if there be any in this place or listening who is not trusting in you, Lord Jesus, who has not confessed you before men and believed in their heart that you are Lord, that you would come and speak to them even this day, calling them to lay down their futile war against you and to run to you and embrace you and bow before you and confess that Jesus is Lord, believing in their heart that indeed you not only died on the cross to pay for the sins of your sheep, but you have been raised from the dead. We make our prayer asking for these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, indeed, it is a shocking thing to read about this hideous event that took place. The depth of evil, indeed, is shocking in any day. And here we have the record of King Herod as the fame of Jesus began to spread. He had done many miracles, and a word was spreading. And when Herod heard about the fame of Jesus, he started coming unglued. He said, "Oh, I know what's going on. John the Baptist has come back from the dead." And the reason why he thought that was because he had participated in an unspeakable horror. An act of wickedness that makes us shudder. He hated John the Baptist. He had desired to put him to death for a long time. But he feared the people. He was afraid of what would happen to him politically. And so he restrained taking this pesky reminder of the truth. John the Baptist, the final straw was that he had publicly declared, calling Herod to repent, that not only all the other evil things that Herod was doing, and you can turn over to the Gospel of Luke and read in the Gospel of Luke, we have the record of John the Baptist declaring the gospel to the people, but he did not shrink back from addressing not only individual people, but even the king. And in Luke chapter 3, verse 18, we read this summary of John the Baptist's ministry. So with many other exhortations, see, John preached good news, the gospel, to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. We don't know how long John languished in prison. Herod had gotten tired of hearing this pesky, faithful, godly preacher calling him to repent of the evil deeds that he was doing in his office as king and in his person. But the final straw was John had publicly declared that it was wicked in the sight of God for King Herod to just steal his brother Philip's wife and to declare, "She's no longer your wife, Philip, she's mine." And John the Baptist had the audacity to stand and publicly say, "I am calling King Herod to repent because what he is doing is wicked in the sight of Almighty God." And finally Herod said, "I don't care what the political fallout is, this guy's got to go." And he arrested John and put him in prison. Our text then is looking back at what happened. Herod is coming unglued now because he, at his birthday party, had Herodias, her daughter had come in and danced before King Herod and his party attenders, the guests at his party, and Herod was pleased. And so he foolishly and wickedly said to this young woman, "Ask whatever you wish, up to the half of my kingdom, and I will give it to you." And her mom had anticipated, perhaps we can get rid of John the Baptist, and whispered in this young woman's ear, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Herod was sorry that this was what she asked for, not because it was wicked in God's sight, but because it probably was going to be trouble for him. And because he would be embarrassed to go back on his word, making himself look bad in the eyes of his guests, he thought, "Well, I want to get rid of him anyway." And so he ordered for John to be executed. And they cut the head off of this godly, dear prophet, this man of God, that Jesus had said, "Of all the men who have lived, there is none greater, born of woman, than John." And the soldiers bring this platter now and present it. What evil. It's shocking to think that that happened. Well, we've had some horrifying, shocking things happen in our land. A series of shocking things. And when we see the hideous, demonic face of evil, what should we do? Oh, this passage gives us great instruction what to do. We need to look to Jesus. In verse 13, now when Jesus heard this, when Jesus heard that John had been beheaded, his disciples had gone and taken the body. Herodias, we don't know what she did with the head. Such demonic evil. Jesus, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. We get a hint what Jesus would do when he would go to a desolate place in this same text down in verse 23. After he, Jesus, had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Jesus would often go and pray. And the first thing we see in this text is the Lord reminding us of the place and the power of prayer. We have had a chorus of people mocking and ridiculing, yet again, in the face of hideous evil this week, give me this garbage about my thoughts and prayers are with you. We need to understand that this also is from the pit of hell. And God calls us to be a people who pray. Who pray to our God. Who look to God for mercy and help in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep praying. Don't cease praying. If you have opportunity, gather with God's people this week to pray. Pray in your homes. Have a time where you read a verse of Scripture and you pray together. Crying not only praise to the Lord of glory, but begging that He would have mercy upon us. The text that we are looking at in 2 Chronicles reminds us that one of the expressions of humbling ourselves and seeking the Lord's face and turning from our wicked ways involves praying. Prayer is a powerful weapon. It is a tremendous blessing. It is a weapon that God calls upon us to be using and honing and participating in. Well, this text also reminds us not only of the example of Jesus that we ought to follow, as he prayed, but I want you to notice, first of all, that this sovereign Savior has great compassion and takes care of his little lambs. In verse 13, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. We need to look to Jesus. We need to trust in the Jesus of the Bible, because he's the one who has compassion on helpless, hopeless sinners. He's the one who alone can take care of us. He alone can provide for us. His sovereign hand is what we depend on. He is the one that we look to for our life. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." It was a huge crowd. We read in verse 21 that there were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And if you have that, maybe there were some men who weren't married who were there, but the vast majority of the men who were there, they had brought their families. And if you had on the average of one wife and three children, on the average for each of these families represented there, you're talking a huge crowd of people, 15, maybe even as much as 20, maybe even 25,000 people. And the disciples say, "Jesus, you need to send these people away. This is a desolate place. There are no restaurants. There's no place for these people to get food. You know, it's getting late in the evening. You need to do something. Send them away." And Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." Sometimes Jesus gives us tasks that seem very impossible to do. One of the tasks that Jesus has given us to do is to share the gospel and to shine forth his light in a culture like ours. Seems pretty tough. From a human perspective, seems pretty hopeless. And so here these disciples are told, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. 5 loaves, 2 fish. 20,000 people. How far is that going to go? Not very." He said, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. They ate so much that they said, "Whoo, I can't eat anymore. This was good, but I wish I could eat more, but I am so full, I think I'm going to pop." They ate till they were satisfied, till they were full. They couldn't hold any more. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And so, yes, in the face of hideous, demonic evil, oh, what a comfort it is to see Jesus. Oh, what a comfort it is to trust in Jesus. Oh, what a comfort it is to follow the Jesus of the Bible. The real Jesus. The Jesus who has compassion and the Jesus who leads us and provides for us. Who has no limit to what He can do. He is all powerful. He can turn 5 loaves and 2 fish into a feast to feed thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Child of God, do not be dismayed. Child of God, do not be intimidated. Child of God, do not despair. Look to this Jesus. Give yourself anew to Him and follow Him. Well, not only do we have a Savior who gave us the example of praying and calls us to trust in Him who has compassion and provides for us and gives us whatever we need to be faithful to Him. We see in verse 22 and following, immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. And when evening came, He was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land. You can go over to the Gospel of Mark and read about how that they had rowed, the Gospel of John, 3 or 4 miles. That's a long way to row when you're rowing against the wind. They had rowed all night long. And now they're in the fourth watch. And the wind is contrary to them. And they're pulling, straining on these oars. And it's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. That was the time of the night. They've rowed all night long. They're exhausted. But by this time, the boat was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea. They had never seen anybody walk on water. They had been, many of them, fishermen all their lives. They had spent the bulk of their working career, these men who were fishermen, not all the disciples were fishermen, but many of them were. And all of a sudden, they see somebody walking on the water coming towards them. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. You can just picture in your mind's eye these great old big burly fishermen. You know, Peter's one of them. And they're crying out in fear. They're scared to death. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And that's what Jesus says to us. Jesus says to us in the face of all of this hideous evil that is breaking forth in our day, we have a Savior who is the sovereign of the universe, who has us and all the events we face in His nail-scarred hands. And this Jesus was walking on the water, and He spoke, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." I just love Peter. You know, Peter, he's so impulsive. And he's bold. Now you gotta give him credit. "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." And so Jesus says, "Come." And what does Peter do? He doesn't hesitate. Jumps out of the boat, and Jesus blessed him to also walk on the water. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. And so Jesus is walking towards him. Peter's walking on the water. And between him getting out of the boat and him getting near to Jesus, Peter began to think. People can't walk on the water. I mean, I know Jesus can, but people can't walk on the water, and the wind is pretty fierce tonight, and the waves, they're dangerous. And what in the world am I doing out here, out of the boat? And as Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and began to focus on the wind and the waves, he began to sink. He didn't just poof, but he began to go down. And Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And in the face of all the horrors that Satan and the minions of hell and those who are caught in his lies and willingly giving themselves to do unspeakable acts of evil, we would be tempted to take our eyes off of Jesus. And when we do, what happens to me? What happens to you? Spiritually, we begin to just perish. And the Lord is so gracious and so kind, and He calls us to do what Peter did. Day by day by day by day, to say to this Jesus, "Lord, save me." And here we see the gentleness of Jesus. Jesus didn't say, "Well, Peter, have you learned anything, big boy? Peter, don't you think it was pretty foolish for you to quit looking at me and looking at..." No, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And God calls us to be a people who have faith in this Jesus and to not doubt that He is good, that He is our Savior, that He reigns. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. On other occasions, we read about how Jesus spoke on a different occasion to the wind and the waves and said, "Hush, be still." And immediately, the wind just stopped. And the sea became like a sea of glass. Those in the boat worshiped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Well, that's what Jesus calls us to do. To trust and obey Jesus. To follow Him. To not be afraid. To worship this glorious God in the face of His Son, the eternal Son of God, who has taken on flesh and laid down His life for us. This Jesus, God calls upon us to have faith in Him and to not doubt. A lot of hideous things are going on. The murders that took place, the attempt of people to shift the focus from six judicially innocent people, three adults, and three little children, brutally murdered, to hold up seven fingers and say, actually, there were seven victims. Oh, our lieutenant governor, she had it right that that person was not a victim. That person was a murderer. And as we read in 1 John chapter 3, God says we ought not be like Cain, who murdered his brother. And you know that no murderer inherits eternal life. Well, praise God, Jesus has the power to forgive and to hold on to His lambs. We have a riot that took place this past week on the floor of the state house chamber in Tennessee. Is it being called an insurrection? We have a miscarriage of justice. A journalist was convicted this past week of supposedly interfering with the 2016 election when another woman, journalist, did the exact same thing, only though for the other candidate. And she has not been charged with anything. We see the indictment of a former president of the United States with even Democratic prosecutors standing and saying there was no crime. And before our very eyes, our legal system is imploding and being turned on its head while we have officials that are committing treason and selling themselves to the Communist Party of China. In the face of all of this, what do we say? Well, as in this text, there is hideous evil rearing its head. And in the face of all of that, the evil one would love to sow discouragement and despair and call us to just shrink back and give up. But Jesus calls us to see that we need a Savior. May the Lord revive our hearts this day to hope in Jesus. May He stir us up to pray. May He stir us up to trust and obey and follow this compassionate Savior. This Savior who can walk on the water. This Savior who bids us trust in Him and have faith in this glorious Redeemer. Father, we ask that You would write upon our hearts Your Word. We ask, O Lord, that You would have mercy upon us in our land, and that in the face of demonic, hideous evil, that we would not be overwhelmed with discouragement or despair or sorrow or intimidation, but that, Lord, You would capture our hearts anew to believe in you, Lord Jesus, to confess you before men, to be unashamed of your name and of the Holy Scriptures, to not shrink back from trusting and obeying you, Lord Jesus. Write these precious passages upon our heart. Lord, when you call us to do works that seem impossible, Lord, in our own lives, in our homes, in the workplace, in our church family, in our community, Lord, to remember that you can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and you can feed thousands. Oh Lord, we rejoice and delight to give ourselves anew to you. Take us and use us for your glory. We pray, Lord, that you would keep us from being overwhelmed by fear, that you would fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, or we will sink in the waves and the wind in unbelief. Lord God, we do cry to you, Lord Jesus, save us, as Peter cried. And we thank you for your gentleness and kindness, that whoever calls upon your name, Lord Jesus, from the heart, that you will turn none away. O Lord, we rejoice to give ourselves anew to you. Bless now as we sing praise to you, our confidence in you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.